Track 7. London Landmarks. When I was a university student many years ago, my college was at the Aldwych in central London, just across the road from Bush House. I knew it was the headquarters of the BBC World Service, and it also housed the Indian High Commission. But for me, the most important feature was the Indian restaurant, which served excellent Indian food at prices an impoverished student could afford. I'm telling you this because this month's London landmark is Bush House, and the actress Zoe Wanamaker is going to tell us about this magnificent building.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of...
My name is Zoe Wanamaker and I'm an actress. I've chosen Bush House in the Aldwych as my iconic London building because it has a fantastic setting and also because it's the home of the BBC World Service. I've loved radio all my life. My mother was an actress and she had the radio on all the time when we were young. So I grew up with it, and now I have at least 5 radios in the house, all usually turned to Radio 4. When I'm on my own, I have the radio on at night too, and at 1 o'clock, when Radio 4 hands over to the World Service, you simply get a different perspective. You hear about places like Somalia that rarely feature at all during the day. Bush House stands at the end of Kingsway, a grand avenue that runs down from Holborn towards Fleet Street. As you walk down Southampton Road towards Holborn, you become aware that several of the buildings are massive 6-story affairs of soft grey Portland stone. Their bottom floors are double height, with big panels of stone ornamented with carved horizontal lines, and their top floors are set back beyond wrought iron balcony rails. Perhaps they were servants' quarters when these buildings were constructed more than 100 years ago. I'm particularly fond of the former Central St Martin's School of Art and Design at a junction just north of High Holborn, with its distinctive leaded roof rising to a rounded cupola above the entrance. For me, it has a very definite personality, bound up with its history as an art school. The windows are varied and distinctive and remind me of the arts and crafts period and the work of Charles Rennie Mackintosh. Then you cross the busy thoroughfare of High Holborn. The road bends just a fraction, and suddenly Kingsway stretches ahead of you down towards the Thames. It's one of the broadest streets in London, a grand avenue 30 metres wide, lined on each side by tall plane trees. It was built in 1907 in the reign of King Edward VII and intended partly as a royal processional route. Until the 1950s, trolley buses used to rattle their way up from the Holborn underpass and trundle down the road, but these days it takes 6 lanes of traffic. And there at the end is Bush House facing you, framed by the plane trees. Its entrance portico is as tall as the treetops, its gabled roof rises above them. As you draw closer, it becomes clear that the building stands 9 stories high, with most of the facade taken up by the huge entrance. 2 massive fluted stone pillars rise 12 metres high to support a broad platform, on which 2 statues stand beneath a rounded roof. They are both men, and each holds a flaming torch and a shield. Between them is an altar embossed with a Celtic cross. These 2 figures represent Britain and America. Their shields are emblazoned with the British Lion and the American Eagle. The portico beneath them is about 4 metres deep and semicircular, with stone benches lining its curved walls. The stone roof is carved into a decorative waffle shape, and 2 massive dark wood doors stand open at the back, each with a heavy brass lion's head door knocker. Inscribed above the door is the legend, "Dedicated to the friendship of the English-speaking peoples." It's a resounding dedication, and could have been made for the BBC World Service, but it wasn't. Bush House was originally conceived as a luxurious international trade centre where buyers from all over the world could meet and purchase goods under one roof. It was the vision of a rich American industrialist called Irving T. Bush, no relation to George. In 1919, he employed fellow American Harvey Wiley Corbett as his architect. Corbett had recently built the 30-story Bush Tower in New York and was becoming known as an architect who thought on a grand scale and had a preference for skyscrapers. The London County Council wasn't having any of that. It had strict planning rules. So Corbett had to make an impression in another way. And he did it with the grandeur of the entrance and the sheer mass of Bush House. Because of the building I'm talking about, with the imposing entrance, is only one of five, the whole complex spans the Aldwych and the Strand, with five enormous blocks constructed of Portland stone, connected by loggias and bridges. When the project was finally finished in 1935, it was declared the most expensive building in the world, having cost $10 million. Construction was at an early stage when, in 1921, financial depression struck. It meant most of the blocks had to be turned into conventional offices. It was too late to modify the center block, though, and it stands as a testament to one man's ambitious dream. Irving T. Bush was over 70 by the time the BBC moved into Bush House during the Second World War. He must have been pleased that his dream of international cooperation was realized there, though not in the way he imagined. Ever since 1940, journalists and programme makers from many countries have been working at Bush House, doing their bit to contribute to international understanding and earning a worldwide reputation for their programmes. I think it's a shame that this summer the BBC will finally leave Bush House. But the building remains, still proud, still dominating its surroundings. And why not? After all, it has a history to be proud of.
Thank you, Zoe. That was fascinating. But you didn't mention the restaurant. Perhaps it's no longer there.